Okay, I'll try to stand over here as close to the bookcase as I can. Okay, so this topic came out, I think, of the last Shmita Leil Iyun, where Debbie Inker, who gets up to forward this information to your wife, she asked about flowers. And I said, I really didn't know, because I just remembered, the only thing I remembered about it was that there's a lot of details. And so I said, I'm going to get into it, so now hopefully we'll get to some of those details, and there are a lot of details when it comes to flowers.
You see, in the last Shmita, I told her I'm not buying her flowers for a year because it was that too complicated, so and that seemed like the easiest way. Anyways, go on.
Okay. So hopefully many of you here have some background in Shmita, because now we're already in the middle, because we're going to be kind of going quickly over some of the basic ideas and how they play out in terms of flowers. So flowers seems like it's pretty innocuous in... It would be easier?
For you,
no. No, I don't mind. I'm thank you. So when it comes to flowers, what could be so complicated with flowers, with buying flowers? So the truth is that there's a lot of possible Shmita complications. We'll have to see how we can or cannot overcome some of those. So the first one is the concept of Svichin, which hopefully we're semi-familiar with this idea. Svichin is the idea that, as opposed to fruits that grow by themselves during Shmita, you're allowed to pluck for your personal use and eat, irrespective of who they belong to, because they're hefker. And when it comes to vegetables should have been the same situation. They should have been able to go to anybody's field and start picking their vegetables. But there's this problem of svichin. Svichin is things that grow by themselves. There's a problem in the times of the Gemara that people would plant these vegetables overnight, hidden, you know, while nobody was looking. Then they would say, oh, wow, by golly, it just grew by itself. We didn't do anything. So the Chachamim thought that because of this issue, which is apparently pretty prevalent, they said, for all vegetables that grow by themselves, you're not allowed to use them. You have to get rid of them, or you can't touch them. But you're not allowed to eat vegetables that grow by themselves. And Shmita, that's an Isser Derabanan called Svichin. And the question is, does this have any relevance to flowers? Because flowers... In theory, you might say it has the same concern. Somebody could come and plant the flower seeds in the middle of the Shemitah year, and then they'll say, I want to pick and use my flowers in the middle of Shemitah. So the answer is yes. The short answer is yes. Svichin, this prohibition of Svichin, could apply to Shemitah as well, but there's an equation which most poskim assume, but not all, and that is that this prohibition of Svichin will only apply to flowers or to produce that has Kedushat Shvit. And so therefore, if we can say that flowers do not have Kedusha, so even though theoretically this concern that somebody might plant flower seeds in the middle of the night might be relevant, still there's no, we're going to assume, like most posting, that there's no possible Isra of Svichin if the thing that you're trying to pick would not have Kedusha Shvit. So now the question of, I hope this is, we're going through that concept of Svichin quickly, hopefully we're more or less familiar, also because of the time concern. So now the real question is whether or not there's a problem of Svichin for flowers. Do flowers have Kedushat Shvit? Okay, so that's the question we really have to address. So this is a Gemara Yerushalmi that is brought up by the Svarim that talk about these issues. And the Gemara Yerushalmi says that I think the oil that comes out of roses has Kedushat Shvit. And the Gemara says, certainly when it comes to flowers that can be used both for their scent and for some sort of taste as a spice, apparently they would put rose drops in food to add a certain flavor to it. So it says, when it comes to flowers that can be used for scent and for taste, so it definitely has Kedushat Shvit. And it says that for flowers that have nothing, that you don't use them for spicing, you don't use them for scent, they're just there totally for decoration. So that certainly does not have Kedushat Shvit. And what about the middle ground, which is probably most of our flowers, is things that have a smell but aren't used for food, aren't used for a taste. That's the suffix. That's the Yerushalmi says we're not sure, and it doesn't come to any clear conclusion. So the question is, so for flowers that you get from a flower seller, which presumably even nowadays roses aren't also, I think more or less aren't used for adding flavor to the food. So basically most of our flowers,
there's a drink
that's rose flavored.
Never mind then. So
Malbi, I'm not sure. Mem, Lamed, Bet, Yud. I'm not sure.
Ah, okay. All right. It's roses. Okay, so the roses are still problematic. Apparently, I don't know, but I feel like I've seen somewhere that they assumed roses were not problematic, but maybe just a percentage how often they're used for food flavoring. But okay, but for flowers that have a smell and are not used for food, which is many, many flowers, where do we come out with this suffix, this doubt of the Yerushalmi? So some post commit Tzitzel Yezer, or Waldenberg, he says, because it's a doubt, and Shemitah nowadays is only Midrabanan. So we could say, you're allowed to be lenient. Things that have a scent, but are not used for flavoring in food, you can assume that they don't have Kedusha. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he practically is also lenient. He says that this whole doubt of the Yerushalmi, something that has a smell but is not used for flavoring, that was only for something that it was used for its scent. That the main purpose of the flour is to add a aromatic flavor to the room. But most flours that we get, even though we might like to put our nose to it and smell it, it's nice, but that's not the main point of it. The main point of it is just to look pretty. So then says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that those kinds of flours, which is practically our flours nowadays, do not have Kedusha. So where does this leave us? And then there are many other posts in the Chazunish and others who say no, because it's a suffix in the Gemara, in the Yerushalmi, and we don't know what we should come out practically, therefore you should be machmir. That midirabanan, you have to assume, or b'safek, if you assume that midirabanan, flowers that have a scent and don't have, are not used for food flavoring, you have to assume they have to use a shvit. And therefore, so to review what comes out of all this so far, what comes out is that if you have flowers which have no smell, they have no, and they don't add flavor to foods, so then certainly they don't have kedusha, there's no problem of svichin, and at least in terms of the problem of svichin, you can go to anybody in the country with a hechsher, without a hechsher, and buy his flowers because his flowers don't have kedusha, there's no problem, this isra midrabanan of svichin. And when it comes to flowers that have a smell, and don't have, are not added for, are not used for food flavoring, so then this is going to be machlokas, and according to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, according to Tzitz Eliezer, you can be mekel again, and it doesn't have kedusha, you can buy it from anybody. And according to other posts in the Chaz Venish and others, if it has a smell and it's not used for food, which is most, or many, many flowers, so then you'd have to be machmir, and you'd have to say that maybe this was grown during Shemitah, and therefore it's a problem of Sviche, and therefore I can't enjoy it, I can't get any benefit from it. So this is going to be a machlokas between the poskim. We'll have to get to a practical conclusion in a few minutes. There's some other concerns that we might have with flowers. Okay, so let's say you want to make it like a Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and say that a flower that it's not used primarily for scent, even though it has a nice smell, it's just used for cosmetic reasons, so it doesn't have kedusha, and there won't be a concern of svichin. So now, what about everything else? You're buying from a non-religious farmer who's selling his flowers on the side of the road, so presumably he was working his field in Shemitah. If we knew that he had heter mechira and he's relying on that, okay, that's a different story, but assuming there's no sort of hechsher whatsoever, you want to buy flowers from a farmer on the side of the road, so how do we know that he wasn't working this field in Shemitah? That's the halachic expression for that kind of concern is maybe it was shamor v'ne'abad. Maybe he was guarding his produce, or he was working his fields on Shemitah. Because you also, in Shemitah, the things that are growing in your field are not yours, so you can't guard them to not let other people come in. So a regular farmer who doesn't know these halachot, so presumably he's guarding and working his field. So what does that have any implication for the produce? This is also machlokas in Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam was machmir, and he says that if you have a farmer who guards his apple trees or guards his flower patch, so then all that entire thing becomes usser. Furthermore, if he wasn't guarding it but he was working in it, all those things become usser. Their food, they're usser to eat. If their flowers, they're usser to be used. Mm-hmm. So, Rabbeinu Tam, if any you feel,
right.
So that would be relevant whether or not you're right. Sorry, you're, the shamor, you're right. That's absolutely correct. That if somebody was guarding a field that doesn't have kedusha, that the produce doesn't have kedusha, that's not a problem because it's not relevant to Shemitah. Mm. But if you go and start working the field, I think even if it doesn't have kedusha, that itself, the fact that malachos during Shemitah were done in the field, that could. I feel like we talked about this a little bit, not me personally, but this is talked about in terms of heter mechira. That what are the possible concerns of the heter mechira? But we generally assume like the consensus of the Rishonim that. Okay, the farmer who worked his field against halacha, he didn't isser, he did something wrong. But the produce that was produced from it, it's fine. Anybody can eat it and if it's fruits, it has kedusha, and if it's flowers, it can be enjoyed. That even though he did something wrong by working in it or guarding it, nevertheless, the things that are produced from that field are going to be permitted. So it seems like that's not a real concern.
What does it mean use
of the flowers?
Yeah.
Of the flowers, so well, the use of the flowers is that you put them in your house. That's the use of them.
Even without smell, just for...
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think if we assume against Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we assume that flowers that have a scent and no taste to them, they have kedusha, so it means this, having them in your house is, you're right, that's also not 100% clear, but that seems like putting them in your house could be a problem.
So working the land and selling the produce are two different
things. Yes, yes, yeah, those are two different
things. Separate things. So once you've bought it, it's, even though you're paying the money and it's going to...
That's right.
It's separate from the growing part.
Correct. Okay, so then there's a very basic iser, which is related to the Mahagin Rabbanu question in Israel in general. That's the idea of being misayeh lide ovrei avera, supporting people who are violating prohibitions. And that one of the concerns with, let's say, Rabbanu Deri, as opposed to Mahagin Deri in Israel, is the fact that non-Mahagin Deri, it's possible that the milk was milked on Shabbos, not according to halacha. Not with special, you know, not with non-Jews, whatever, not with special machines. So, it seems like Me'ikar Hadin, according to the strict law, so it's permitted to buy that milk, even though you're indirectly supporting this Shabbos-breaking industry. But that's the idea of Misayeli de Obrei Avera. You're supporting people who are violating Yisurim, which we try not to do, but Me'ikar Hadin, it would really be allowed. So that's also going to be relevant here. So you have people who are working in their fields and growing their flowers or planting their flowers. So even though we don't accept Rabbeinu Tam, we would assume that the flowers really can be bought. The question is, should you buy them? Because maybe strictly speaking, it's allowed, but you're supporting an industry of people who are violating the Yisurim of Shemitah. So that's the question here. You have these three levels of possible issues when it comes to flowers. The possibility of, are they svichin, are they asar midrabanan to be bought and used, like Benzi was saying, probably just means putting them in your vase, that would be considered using the flowers. And then secondly, are they asar because the person, there's no hashir, maybe the person was working his field, so that we probably assume no, the flowers are permitted to be used. And then the third thing is, is it good to be supporting an industry of people who are not keeping Shemitah? So all things being equal, obviously, if you have two flower sellers, one of them has a hechsher and one of them doesn't, so then you should certainly buy the flowers with the hechsher because it's always good to support. Oh, well, what do we mean hechsher? What kind of hechsher are we talking about? You're not eating them. It just means that either that these flowers were built in matzah minut, they were grown in matzah minutak, they were grown in, you know, in a halachic greenhouse arrangement, or it means that that it was heter mechira and the land was sold. Some sort of heter like that. I meant to check this out, then I forgot, so maybe I can send it out in an email. Did anybody check if the flower sellers here have any sort of heter? Anybody know? Yeah, this is kind of an important question.
I was wondering how you would even know if the heter is a real heter for that particular flower seller now, because they're just guys on the street.
Guys on the street, that's a good point.
They're showing heter.
Regard the entrance of the yeshua, though.
Forget him, but anyone else.
Yeah, I think the store.
Presumably, I mean, I guess if it looks like it's thing with original stamp on it.
No, the flowers don't have that, but the store itself is under Hetter Mechira, but you'd have to check. Which club buys it?
No, that's Machzneh Shuk. What about the guy?
The guy over here,
the flower guy. Yeah.
No, just don't buy flowers for a year. It's nothing.
Yeah, Ben, what are you saying?
I think he says something that you don't know.
He tells you if it's Shemitah or not.
Thank
you. Okay, well, I'd have to speak to him. Maybe Linette will try to speak to him and then send out an email to the...
Buy chocolates.
There you go. It's also good to support the stores and the second floor of the place with the artificial flowers.
Right. Yeah, the gift.
It's on the point.
Right. Right, it's true. Those are the best solutions. Okay, so where does this leave us practically? So again, I have to check out this very important practical point. What's the status of the flowers in Yom Binyamin? Which Lee Netter will try to do before next Shabbos or so. I don't know if we'll get out before next Shabbos, because he's only there on Fridays, right?
Yeah.
The guy. Okay, so.
He lives there.
Okay, whatever. We could figure that out.
We'll call Isaac about Boxley or something.
Right, call Isaac. When it comes to practically, so obviously if you have two alternative sellers, one of them has a hechsher and one of them doesn't, he says, my field is hechsher mechira, and therefore there's no problem of svichin, that even if you assume that, even if these are flowers that you want to eat, and they're delicious, and then you want to buy them and bring them and then eat them afterwards, so if it's hechsher mechira, so then presumably you're relying on hechsher mechira, so that's fine, and that wouldn't be a problem. And you could throw them away afterwards like you do for any hechsher mechira produce. All similar, if it's grown in a greenhouse, you can throw it away like any other matzah menutak produce after you're done with it. But if you don't have a hefsher, so can you buy there? So I think that if if there's some pressing need, you're about to go to somebody's house, you realize you didn't buy them a gift, and you see the flower seller on the side of the road. Okay, so you can rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you can rely on the Tzitz Eliezer and assume that even if these were flowers that were grown in the field in Shemitah, and that even in theoretically there could be this Isser of Tzvichin, but presumably you're not buying the flowers to use them, and not flowers are used for food, they're flowers, like 99% of our flowers that either don't have a smell, then those are certainly are not considered Tzvichin, or they have a smell, but the primary purpose of them is for just to look pretty, to be nice flowers. So that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, and the Tzitz Eliezer certainly said, that those don't have the problem of Tzvichin. Those don't have any Kedushat Shvi'it, and you can buy them. So you can, if it's a pressing need, you can rely upon them. In terms of the issue, again, of Shamor V'Neva, maybe the farmer worked in this field, also make your din, or make deal with that. And in terms of the possibility of Misayeli, the Ovrei Avera, that you're supporting people who are not keeping Shemitah, so we don't like to do that, but if push comes to shove, you're in a situation where there's a real pressing need to be made, also then I think that's also okay. But what we have to see, again, and yet, Binyamin, I would hope and I would believe that the supermarket took care of this. The flower seller, so if like Benzi's saying, he'll tell you what has more of an issue, what is less of an issue, so it's important to be aware.
The flower seller's a dati guy. I mean, he's dati
guy,
it's not,
yeah.
It's not a...
Right, so I mean, who knows who is, you know, who is... suppliers are. He's probably not growing them, but
right.
But hopefully he's aware of the issues, and hopefully he can explain to you what the different flowers
if
are.
If it's getting from a flower guy who's growing the flowers specifically just to sell, you know, for Shabbos, and he's not, and he himself is not using any of his flowers for food or for medicine or everything like that.
Right.
Then can you, I mean, is that okay, or is it just concept of whether they can be used?
So again, there's this, the Gemara Yerushalmi said that flowers that have no scent, they're not used for food, you know, production, those certainly do not have Kedusha, do not have a problem with
scent. I'm saying...
If they could be used for food, they certainly do. The middle ground of
flowers... Even if he's not using for them.
Even if he's not using
Okay, that's what we're
As long about. As the flower as a type of flower is used...
They can be used.
Right, so then again, you get to the suffix. If it's a flower that has a smell, so then you get to the machlokas of the poskim, could that possibly have the problem of svichin or not?
The other issue that, I mean, you're talking about Yabim in particular, but I think a lot of, where the issue really does arise, a lot of times people have guests, whether it's seminary or what, when they bring flowers, what do you do with them?
Right,
I think you've answered that, but I think that's the issue.
I didn't really address all those possibilities. If somebody's bringing you flowers for Shabbos, and it's possible that they have Kedusha, because it's possible if you do not accept the Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that it's a Eliezer, and then it's possible that this grew during Shemitah, and because it has a smell, even though it's not used for flavoring, so then it has Kedusha Shviit. It could be because it could be Tzvichin. So then what that means is that you use it as usual and wait until either right after Shabbos you can put it into a bag and close the bag and throw it away. Or you can put it aside for a couple of days. I mean, what we usually do, not even during Shemitah, is leave out our flowers until they start to smell. And then we throw them away. So then you can do that as well. Because the whole source of this suffix of the Yerushalmi is things that have a nice smell, but not flavoring, so do they have Kedusha? Once that nice smell is gone, so then the Kedusha would be gone as well, you can throw them away.
Okay.
Right, like usual. If you want to be machmir, put them into a bag, and then into the garbage, probably better, but I think
we
can take
care of it. What happens if you have roses in your garden?
If you have roses in your garden and you want to cut them and have them in for Shabbos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think I think they say, what do they say, to try to cut in a slightly unusual way, in general?
Kind of like it's going to...
Right. But it's like even in general, say you wanna take some apples or oranges from your tree, I think they say it's better to do it in some sort of unusual way, according to some of the Rishonim. So I think so here as well, maybe cut in a slightly unusual way, just take them in like usual.
But
the rose is
fruit. The fruit is not in Shemitah anyway, because it's from the previous year.
Right. When it comes to roses. So I believe that for fruits that for flowers that this is a, for some reason it's a perennial versus annual distinction. I think for perennials it depends on when it started to grow, and for annuals it's when you cut it. So the roses that were starting to grow before Shemitah wouldn't have Kedusha, and the ones that are growing during Shemitah would. Either way, I mean, with stuff you just put into a plastic bag.
You can cut it either way.
Sorry, that's reminding me of an important distinction. Even if you want to be machmir, not like the Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and not like the Tzitz Eliezer, and say that flowers with a scent without flavoring might have the iser of svichin, so that's only for flowers that are annuals, that have the concern that you might have planted them during Shemitah. But flowers like a rose bush, which just it's there, so there's no concern of svichin as well, so then it wouldn't have the problem of svichin, but it could be has kedusha because roses might have kedusha in general.
okay, but what does that leave you in terms of the disposal issue? Okay, you're saying it's not the kedusha issue, but in terms of the buying issue, how does that impact?
For what? For roses?
Yeah, for roses, it's not svichin, right?
Right, so it's not svichin. So what that means practically is that the only concern you might have is supporting people who aren't keeping Shemitah. Just the lower level general concern of not supporting that kind of thing.
Okay, there's already much right. more trivial concern.
Right. Correct. That's a very important point. The real need for a hefsher, in general, it's always best to buy with a hefsher for flowers. The real need for a hefsher is annual flowers that have a scent.
Since when does the flower get have Shemitah? The flower that do have Shemitah.
That's what I was saying before. I believe that for some reason it's different. If it's an annual flower, a flower that has to be planted every year, then it's when it was cut. And if it's a flower that's part of a bush that makes flowers every year, then it's from when it started to grow. Then if it started to grow before Shemitah, it does not. If it started to grow during Shemitah, it does.
It started like fruit.
Right, like fruit. That's what I recall. Okay, so that seems to be sufficiently complicated for the flowers. The other thing is flower pots. This, I think, we touched upon a little bit at maybe one of the previous Shemitah sessions. Okay, so herbs do have kedusha. Herbs do have kedusha. So herbs would, I think that they have kedusha. Oh, you're talking about in a pot. Okay, so that's one. Okay. So what we're going to be talking about, planting in a pot and things that have kedusha, it's going to be the same issue. If you're allowed to plant because it's considered separated from the ground and you're allowed to do any sort of malacha in that kind of pot, that means that the produce will not have kedusha. And if we're saying, though, you have to be machmer, this pot is considered connected to the ground, then what grows in there would also have kedusha. This idea that something that grows in a pot, it might not have kedusha, that's really what we know, hopefully, more or less know the idea of matzah minutak, of produce that's grown in greenhouses. What they're saying essentially is that because it's considered not connected to the ground, so then the vegetables that would grow there would be allowed to be eaten, they don't have svichin, they don't have kedusha. Okay, so what about for flower pots? How much time have we been so far?
No, don't go by that.
Don't touch anything. Okay.
Don't go by it.
Apologies. Okay.
9:12.
Okay. What time should we finish up? Not so long.
The warning needs to be here so you can keep going.
Okay. Good. Okay. Great. So flower pots. The Gemara Yerushalmi has a suffix. It says in the Pesukim in regards to Shemitah that you're not allowed to work your fields. So the Gemara says, what about your house? Is that usur or not? In their house. Not of tiling. Their house had dirt floors. So it's not as crazy to be growing things in the floor of their house than for us. We're not talking about pots now. We're just talking about growing in your house on the floor. So that was the subject of the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says maybe yes, because maybe it's similar to the fields in the sense that you're growing in the ground, but maybe it's not because you have roof and walls, so it's not the field. So the Gemara is not, the Gemara Yerushalmi is not sure about that. So Rav Ovadia Yosef says, Shemitah is derabanan, the Yerushalmi has a suffix, so it's mutter, you'll have to plant inside any sort of, you make a tent in your house, in your, earlier they just said that you're not here, so I have a few more minutes, and I have to wrap it up. Okay, thank you. So the Gemara Yerushalmi said that it's a suffix, but the Rabbi Yosef said because it's a suffix, so Shemitah is a rabbanan, you can be makel and you can plant, and if you have a roof, a covering over any area, you're allowed to plant in the ground. Many other posts came, the Chazon Ish, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and they said the whole suffix of the Yerushalmi was whether or not planting inside your house is usher from the Torah. But certainly there's an isher midirabanan of planting inside it, you have a roof, and it's certainly usher midirabanan, so they say you should not be makel practically. Of planting and growing things inside your house and the dirt floor of your house. There's another important suffix which is not addressed in art in the Gemara Bavli, the Gemara Yerushalmi, is that what about pots? Growing something now let's assume not inside your house, outside your house, take the exact opposite case. You're outside in the field, but you have a pot and you want to grow in the pot. Is that Asra Shemitah? So that is not addressed in the Gemaras. And in general, in areas of halacha, we say that something that's grown inside of a pot, it's considered connected to the ground, midirabanan, assuming that the pot has holes. That if the pot has holes, so then things that grow in it would be chayiv in truma and meiser and etc., etc., etc. So that's what we're talking about, again, outside your house in a pot with holes.
Okay, so I have pots of herbs outside my house, but it's on the mir peset, not on the
Okay, so we'll get to the mir, peset. Okay. And then does the mir peset have a covering or a roof, or no?
It's like outside. It has a little covering.
Okay, so hopefully we'll address that. So the Chazon Ish says, we have, the Gemara Bichlal has a suffix about growing inside your house with a dirt floor. We're going to be machmir on that. Well, we don't know about if you have a pot that's growing outside, or if the pot doesn't have holes, that, then maybe you should be mekhlo there, but we're not sure, we don't want to be mekhlo there either. But if you can combine both of them, you want to have a pot that doesn't have holes, somehow considered disconnected from the ground, inside your house, then you should really be able to do anything. Because the Gemara and the Yerushalmi never had a doubt about that. It was only talking about growing your dirt floor in your house. But if you have a pot that's considered separated from the ground inside your house, that's for sure going to be allowed. Anything that grows inside there is not going to have kedusha. You can plant in it. You can trim it at will. You can fertilize it, whatever you want to do, water it. That's considered totally separate from the ground. It's not going to have kedusha.
You need to have a fruit tree, flowers.
Yeah, anything. You have a fruit tree growing in a big pot inside your house. Theoretically, that would apply to that.
That plant right there, the Orleans always put a little plate on the bottom.
Right, exactly. Separation. So what's considered separated from the ground? We said now that you can make like you have a pot that's separated from the ground inside your house. So there's a couple ways to do it. One way is like Rav Orleans said about the putting a plate underneath, a non-ceramic plate. Ceramic is considered also like a ground type of material. You have a metal or plastic or something like that. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and other poskim say that if it's on the non-ground floor level of a house, you have something on the second floor of your house, that automatically is considered separated from the ground. So again, inside no matter the type of floor, no matter the even if the pot itself has holes, meaning the fact that it's on the second floor of the house, that itself makes it disconnected from the ground.
What if it's on one flight up a staircase, a half a floor up?
I don't. I'm not sure. I think it might have been ten tefachim. I think it might have been as long as it's like this much higher off the ground. I think it's where it might come from. There's a chumrah that Rabbi Mon brings. There's a minhag to not plant in those kinds of things in Shemitah. You shouldn't plant fruit trees even in your house. And other people are makel. I know I have a friend that's come to answers many questions about Shemitah. He's working on it this year. And you keep that. It's allowed. You can plant completely, but certainly if it's already in your house and you want to trim it or you want to water it, that could be without any sort of limitation. Now, when it comes to a mir peset, so then it would depend. You need the same two conditions. It has to be separated from the ground. So if it's second floor mir peset, it's separated from the ground. If it has a plate underneath, it's separated from the ground. But it also needs to have some sort of covering above where the plant is. If it has a covering where the plant is, so again, you could treat it as usual. And if it doesn't, if it's on your peset and it's exposed to the air and to the sun, so then it has to have the same limitations as the garden. You can water it as much as it needs to survive, and you can trim it if it's clearly for cosmetic reasons and not to help the growth of the plant. And the same limitations that outside plants would have, that would be the same for the pot. Are there any other questions? Or will we,
And if the pot that's holding the plant is not made of ceramic, is it of a different thing? Some of them are metal or something else.
Right.
Then
it would depend on if it has holes or not. If the pot, most pots have, I guess most, I'm not sure. If it doesn't have holes, then it would be considered disconnected from the ground. The only for the plate is if there's even very small holes, or not very for very small holes, but if it has absolutely no holes, it may give up.
Clay. Or if it's just a clay.
Or if it's clay, right? It would be just a metal. Right? Okay. So, I mean, there's much more to talk about, and there's a lot more details, but we have to.
That's water for you.
Thank you very much. Okay. So we have to move along. If there are any more questions that want to be presented for the end, so then we could.
We'll present it at the end, yeah.